Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook, and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today we're going to be talking about a great topic. I'll tell you, every single day I say that same thing, but it always seems that this issue seems to be presenting to me in the past few months, and I end up with a show on it. So, hey, I guess I get my answers in some way, right? Today we're going to be talking about the word truth. What is truth in life? And we talk about it without faith or hope, and so many people have said over the show over the years, you know, I feel like God's just totally left, you know, and I'm laying down on the floor crying and praying, and I just don't get any answers. Or even still, I know I've said this, and probably many times I should not have said it, but I did. I said, I think God's on a sabbatical. He just forgot. He forgot to leave his forwarding address. You know, we've said that many times because our life is not this little hunky-dory great thing where everything is just coming up roses. If it was, we wouldn't be called individuals, right? So my guest today is Nikki Norlock. She is the author of Truth, My Synchromistic Journey, and she's going to be sharing what that means. So, Nikki, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and you're just a hot topic these days.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Don't you think, you know, the word truth? How about, I mean, everybody waited for the, you know, the blood moon to happen, and they said, oh, it's going to bestow upon me. It's coming down from the sky. And everybody's super disappointed, right?
Well, you know, funny thing about truth is it has a lot to do with personal perception, personal experience. Mm-hmm. Truth is malleable, and I know that scares a lot of people. It used to scare me too. But you mentioned, you know, these struggles and stuff, and that's kind of what makes this life an adventure. I think it's the diverse nature of our own life experience that really right. makes it exciting to be here. And those challenges that we face, the truth of that is that they just help us learn more about ourselves. And that's the truth I think everybody's ultimately seeking in the end. They want to know, who am I? What is my personal connection to spirit? You know, you've asked the yeah. question, you said many times, where did he go?
I know.
God's on a sabbatical, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, even for intuitive people, we're finding, you know, for myself, you know, I can sense if there's, a spirit or an angel or whatever. And then we have a lot of intuitive listeners, and they'll say, I'm sitting here, I'm meditating, but there's nothing. There's only this, you know, nothing's going on. I feel like I'm in the abyss. Oh, I've said that so many times. I'm in the abyss, and that is so important. You're in that space where you're full creating. There's nothing attached to you either way. Isn't that the best place to be?
It is. It is absolutely the best place to be. I call it the space of I don't know. And ever since that first step that I took on this insane journey that's still going on today, I mean, things just keep getting better and better, certainly not without its challenges, but I remain in that space of I don't know, and it's look into the eyes of a child and watch how they interact with the world. That's
what
I would like people to see and to embrace, is that idea that the child brings to the world of, ooh, it's an adventure. Look, a shiny object. You know, if we could all embrace life with that same kind of enthusiasm and spirit, then we might be able to accept changes more easily.
You know, and now that you're saying that, I can remember so many times over my lifetime, I'm almost 60, people have said to me, how old are you? Meaning, in their reference, that I was acting immature for the situation, wasn't quite naive, I was too naive about the world, I wasn't, whatever they were looking for, I wasn't it. And I think that sometimes that is so good to have, because you can look at everything in a different eye. I don't need to be jaded by all of my past things that I drag along and say, this is what that experience is supposed to look like and you'd better fit it, right?
That's absolutely true. And you speak about those the experiences that you've had in life. And I just had this conversation actually with one of the young ladies that was living with me for a while, my soon-to-be daughter-in-law, very excited about it. So she was really struggling with something that was going on in her own personal life, and she was talking about the things that she's been through in the past and how this is, you know, it's happened over and over and over again. And I said, but sweetie, you got to look at it a different way. And I started walking around the yard, and I picked up a bunch of, like, random things, like a rake and a whole bunch of stuff, and I put them in my hands, and my hands were, like, super full, and I was struggling to carry them. And then I'm like, okay, so you're walking around life, and you're carrying all this stuff, right? And she's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I go, but look, there's a flower. And you know what? My hands are full. I can't pick it up.
Right.
And she went, ah! And I went, you see? And she said, yes. I said, so the rake helps me to make the garden, and all of these things that I was carrying are gardening implements, and all of these things have helped me to make the garden, but I can't really appreciate the things that are in the garden. I can't pick the vegetables out of the garden if I'm still holding on to the rake and the shovel, and you know, we really have to look at life that way. It's we're gardening, we're nurturing ourselves as we grow. The tools that worked yesterday aren't the same tools we're going to use today to pick the flower, you see.
And I think so, too, it's important to note is that a lot of people will say, let's use ex-husbands as an example. They'll say, well, the common person is always you. And I've turned that around because I've had my collection also. But I've turned it around and said, but look at what I learned from this one. And look at what I learned from this one. And look at what they learned from me. And then it was just the chapter was closed for that lesson, and then I was on to the next chapter. Rather than saying, oh, another one. Now, you know, you didn't do good with the last one. What are you going to do with this one, you know? And instead of putting that negative tail on everything, just turn it around and say, what did we both learn? And isn't that fabulous? I mean, I still speak to all of my exes, you know, boyfriends and husbands, you know. And it's interesting because they just don't feel that animosity where somebody's done them wrong kind of idea.
Well, no, because every relationship you have is a gift. Whether it hurts in the moment or not, it's still a gift because it helps you to grow as a person. And you are also a gift to the person that you were in the relationship with, whether they recognize it or not. And at the end of the day, I have to be quite blunt in saying that it has nothing to do with their perceptions whatsoever. It's all about you and your perceptions. Mm-hmm. It's you that has to look in the mirror at the end of the day. You know, I mean, and that's what's important. So make your life choices based on how you feel about yourself making that choice. All that other stuff, it's extraneous stuff. It's not necessary to pay attention to it. It really isn't.
And I think it's incredible. I think peer pressure is getting off the wall these days with social media. It is just, I mean, it's just tremendous. There's not a place you go that you can't escape it, the bullying and the peer pressure, because everybody's got an opinion and they, quote, comment or like, and it's just, gosh, just based upon their stuff. And that's really so hard for a lot of people to be able to focus just on themselves.
It absolutely is, but one of the beautiful things that social media does do for us is that it allows us an opportunity to look at these comments for what they
mm-hmm.
are, reflection of that person's experiences.
Right.
And oftentimes an angry comment, I had it happen this morning, actually. I made a really late comment on somebody's thing, and he came back and he, rawr. I said, see, dude, this is what I'm talking about. I'm being polite, and you're being that. And he went, you know what, you're right. I'm not even mad at you. And that's
yeah.
the thing. I mean, if we could just look at it and go, okay, I see you for who you are. You're going through a thing, and it's okay. And no judgment, no anger, no, you hurt me with that comment. Don't
right.
take it personally. You know, and give yourself an opportunity to detach from the emotions
mm-hmm.
around their situation.
Yeah, you know, I had posted something one day, and it said, I think that the word perfection, I was just putting it out there, I think the word perfectionism needs to go out of our vocabulary. And right immediately I had gotten a comment, and someone had said, but we always strive for perfection, otherwise we're a failure. And I went, gosh, those are two words I just have never used, you know, failure or strive for something that, if you don't get there, you're always seeking. In other words, are you always seeking perfection of what, you know? And then are you considered a failure every single day until you open the door to your new office? Are you considered a failure every day until you have that new car, you know? Or are you considered a failure every day until you've got $1 million in the bank? And that's where a lot of people are at, I think.
Absolutely. And could we change it up and maybe
yep.
try and strive to be perfectly imperfect?
Right. Or what about if it imperfect? You're already perfect today. Where are you going?
Exactly.
You know?
But that's the thing. Like, everybody's got this idea that, and goodness gracious, it's been a long time in building up, but, you know, we've got all these teachers and all these this and all these that.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, they weren't very authentic about their
mm-hmm.
own trials and tribulations, their own failings, you know? I mean, it's only
mm-hmm.
recently that people are coming forward and saying, hey, I'm human too. So we've got them on this pedestal. And we're all trying to be as calm and as graceful and as forgiving and as accepting as they are. And that's not fair. That's not
yeah.
fair at all. Because they're just as
right.
human, you know? And so we have to stop putting people up on this pedestal and striving to be like them. Instead,
yeah.
as teachers, we need to come out and say, hey, I suffer too. I feel pain. I feel sore. I get mad. I have moments of anger. I have moments of doubt. I have moments of fear. I lose faith. But that's okay. And that allows people, it gives them permission to be themselves.
Right, right. And also, too, the concept of vulnerability. I think everybody has got such a wall of armor right now that there is absolutely no way they're going to allow themselves to be vulnerable. But if you look at the latest Kennedy that was on television, and he's talked about all of the secrets of the family. And it really wasn't talking about just his secrets. He was talking about everyone's.
And that's it. We need more of that. We need so much more of that. We need people who are willing to step up and say, yes, I've done this, this, this. I've made some really poor choices, you know, like I did in my book. I talked very openly in my book, and I found a miraculous thing that happened with that. I was so scared when I first published it. I published it under a pen name, and I gave it to like 30 friends that I had never told my story to. And they all came back to me one at a time in private with their own little stories, things that they had done that they were carrying around with this big bag of shame for years and years
right.
and years. And they said to me, now I see I'm not alone. And it's like, no, dude, you're not. You're not alone at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
We've all made mistakes. But is it a mistake if it opens your heart, opens your mind, opens your spirit to something more? Then it's not a mistake. Then it's just my husband likes to call it that ramp. You know, you find a bump in the road, that's okay. Build a ramp, get a skateboard, jump over it.
Yeah. But you know what, too, also, is that when people have all of these secrets of the past, what they've done is they've collected them so much that they've really become this swamp that they live in. And they're not able to see outside of that. In other words, they'll only know the flowers that grow in that swamp. They will only know the deer that come by there. And they'll only know the sky that goes overhead. And that's important because what really happens is you get such a limited belief system because you felt so broken in the first place. I think what's happening now in the world is that a lot of people are saying, I'm not carrying that bag of swamp dew with me anymore. I'm just going to start dumping it, and I'm going to go out and swim in a pool. Do you know what I mean? In other words, they're going to change their story. And really, a lot of people, you know, as that example he was talking about, was family members in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s were really dumping all of their pain from, you know, all of those earlier years in the 1900s onto their children. That was the way the world was. So right now you've got a lot of elders, people over the age of 50, that now have a lot of this sump stuff that they got to drop.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's the older you get, the more challenging it becomes because you were raised to believe things were a certain way, and it's very hard to
right.
switch the mindset. But that's why it's so important for everybody who is able to be open, authentic, and honest to do it.
Right.
To do it without shame and to just follow your path, follow your passion, and just keep going and do it openly and let people see it, because it's not so much about teaching people how to change their life. It's about changing your own life, living that. And then they see it, and then they'll come to you and they'll ask, how did you do that?
Right.
That's when they're ready. You can never force change on anybody. If they're not ready, they're not ready.
No.
And that's okay, because that's where they are right now in the moment. It's not for us to tell them, hey, your life's messed up, fix it. No.
Right.
You never do that. This is what I'm doing for my life. This is what I'm doing for my health, my well-being, for my happiness level. And if somehow it affects you and lifts you up and inspires you by default, it's not my fault.
And how about also too the concept that that when these things happen, a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to show my vulnerability, and they just keep on going. And I think the ones that learn eventually are those that will be able to break free. It's the ones that just keep repeating and repeating and repeating because they aren't ready yet. And also, I think we should really definitely touch on the fact that you don't have to stay in those relationships or with those people or in those jobs or those professions if they are not in truth, in line with your truth, because it's very hard to be able to function with something that is totally not of your right vibration.
Absolutely true. One of the worst things that you can do for your health and well-being, actually, is to force yourself to stay in a relationship. Now, certainly, it's okay to allow other people to be who they are and do what they do,
mm-hmm.
as long as they're doing it over there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Even if it's in the other room or in the other part of the house.
Exactly. This is my happy space. This is my bubble. Hello, I'm over here being happy.
Right.
Let me do that. It's scary. It's terrifying. I get it. I've had to leave behind friends. I've had to leave behind family. I've had to make some very hard choices. But when it comes to my health and well-being, that's my priority, because I am no good to anybody else. I cannot be a benefit to this world if I am not first taking care of myself. You have to set down your boundaries, and you can't let people cross them. And that doesn't mean you have to be rude about it. Certainly not. You can just politely say, hey, you know, I'm not into the drama. I don't want to play that game anymore. I have to focus on me for a while, so that's what I'm going to go do.
And sometimes people take offense when others say that, so I think it's very important to understand that's another one of their choices too. And you don't need to, what I find that there's a lot of people that find justification is needed you know, or validation. You have to consistently be walking around saying, I'm doing this because, or I said this, and then they go on and on and on, and it's sort of like, no, you just need to stop someplace.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely. In fact, I'm one of those people that I've been doing that for years. I used my health as an excuse for years as to why I couldn't do things, but the truth is that it was kind of like Spirit was like, hey, you're supposed to be doing this, and so if you're not going to do this, then, well, we're going to mess with your body for a little while until you get the picture. And now I unashamedly say the truth is that I'm not happy doing anything other than what I'm doing, so that's what I'm going to do. And if people can't understand that, it's not my problem. The people who do are the people that I want to share my time with, spend my energy on, and celebrate life with.
And also, too, I think it's important to say along your life, I'm sure you've come across this, is that people in positions of power, I know I see this a lot in the healthcare professions. I've been in healthcare since 72. And what I've found is that there are people, too, number one, but number two, they've also had issues. And number three, they've also bought a box that had a label on it, and that's the label they've attached to themselves. And therein, the rest of their life needs to stay inside that box. So when we challenge them or ask them to go outside that box, or if we're looking for answers from someone that's got a label on them, we have to realize that maybe we just can't get those answers there and we have to go somewhere else. Let's say with religion, sometimes with priests or your preacher or your rabbi or whatever, you know, if you start believing more expanded feelings about spiritual world, you know, and you're not getting the answers you're looking for, or you're not looking for the what we call conversation to be able to stimulate what you're thinking, then you need to go outside of that box.
Absolutely. It's super important, especially when it comes to physical healing. One of the things I teach people most often is, you know, you need a healing team, first of all. If your doctor doesn't want to or isn't willing to work with your naturopath, you need to find a new doctor. If your naturopath doesn't believe in Western medicine, then you need to find a new naturopath.
Right.
The truth is that you need to find people who are willing to accept as many solutions as possible and keep pushing until you find the right people. Don't just settle. I mean, we're talking about your health. We're talking about your well-being, your happiness.
Right.
This is your life. It's your choice, nobody else's. They can't tell you what you can and cannot do with your body or your spirit. You need to decide. And if it does not feel good, that's your gauge. If it feels wrong, if it makes you feel icky inside, you keep looking till you find something that makes you feel yummy inside.
Well, let's talk also, too, about the concept of... oh, gosh, I just lost the whole train. Train had left the station and it forgot me. So what we were talking about is that, you know, if you are really starting to look outside yourself, that just means that you're changing or that you're not willing to accept, to be put under what we would say, you know, the pressure of having to do everything that everybody says to do. You're really becoming that individual, and that's important.
It is. It is really important. You're absolutely right. Going back to the word scary, because it is, and that's, I guess, why my journey was so messed up, so that I could come out and openly say, hey, it's not all butterflies and rainbows and fuzzy bunnies. But the longer you go, the more you're willing to dive into what really makes you happy and what really makes you feel good in life, the better it gets and the easier it comes to you. Answers are going to come. And even if at first, if you can't hear them, you can't see them, they will come. And like you said earlier, if you're having a quiet moment where you don't seem to be getting any answers, that's your answer. That quiet
right.
moment. Just be still. You know, stop.
Yeah, nobody wants to stop anymore. Nobody even knows what the word means, you know. And I think maybe sometimes that's where the confusion is lay. You know, you have so much chaos, you can't even hear the clear path.
And that's it. I mean, if you know, you're lying on the couch and that's all you've done for a week, the guidance you're going to get first is going to be get up. It's not going
right.
to be, you know, 10 steps from there. Okay, now build a house.
Right.
It's going to be get up.
Yeah.
So it's really important, those quiet moments. And if you're not getting anything, that's what you need to do in the moment, is to just stop and take stock and be still. And you know, we talk about meditation a lot in the work that I do, but meditation doesn't necessarily mean, you know, sitting with your legs crossed and putting your fingers up and saying om. Meditation
right.
can be painting. It can be working on a car for those who like electronics and mechanics. You know, I know my brother meditates by tinkering with a car. For some people, crank your music up and dance around the house. If just enough to get your mind off of the hamster wheel of the problem that you're stuck on in the moment, to allow clarity to come through.
And let's talk for a second, Nikki, about in the beginning of your book, you talk about the Grail Seekers. And I'm sure that word's been tossed around in some conversations, and people really don't understand what that means. But also then you go on to say about searching out the truth. And we have to remember that truth is individual for everyone. So when we're asking for answers of our family or our friends or others in conversation, what we're really asking them to do is bounce it back to me. And if we keep doing this ping pong thing long enough, eventually the words will start coming out of me as they were meant to be. It's just I couldn't hear them yet. So then you'll start hearing them in your voice as you have this ping pong conversation.
Absolutely. The best way for some people to get answers is to talk it out. Just talk it out. And you know, you'd be surprised. You talk to a lady at the grocery store, and she might have an infinite piece of wisdom that you're missing. But the wisdom ultimately is coming from you. You know the answer. You just haven't discovered that you know yet. Some people I know, you know, they keep a daily diary. They write it out, and then they go back and read it and go, that's what I need to do. You know, I mean, it's kind of, you have to allow it somehow to get out from you and get out into the world.
Right.
And if having a conversation with somebody is the tool that drives that, then go for it. It's not their advice you're looking for. It's your own inner guidance.
And let's see what else you talked about in the book. Do you have a favorite selection you'd like to share with us?
Favorite selection, wow. Sure. Best piece of wisdom. It's actually two best pieces of wisdom I ever got, and they're in the book. One was from my 10-year-old daughter, who was trying to get me to go on this crazy adventure, and I was terrified because I'd never left her alone. And so, you know, I'm talking to her about it, and I'm like, I'm scared, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't want to leave you. And she just looks at me, and she said, yeah, but Mom, if you're telling me I have to follow my heart, and I have to, you know, do the things that I want to do in life and pursue my passion, how can I do that if I don't see you doing it? So that's an excellent, you know, that's one of the best anecdotes I think I have in the book, is this little girl looking at me going, hey, you kind of have to lead the way, eh?
Yeah.
You know, she has all these little tidbits. One time I asked her, what's the meaning of life? And she looked at me and just a little quirky smile on her face and said, that's easy, Mom, to live. So, you know, that's...
I know.
Oh,
I wish I remembered all those. I have 4 kids and, you know, I was so busy at the time and, you know, that was when we didn't have cell phones and things to record, you know, and I really wish I remembered all of those.
I remember them because they really stuck with me. I mean, they were really, really good little pieces of wisdom that came at the beginning of a monumental life change. And so the timing was perfect. It stuck in my brain. I'll probably remember that for the rest of my life. And there's one more where I was having a conversation with a friend, and I was reading her some of the chapters that I was writing, and I was telling her this crazy tale that I was going through, and, you know, I'm going off on this thing, and I don't know where I'm going again. You know, I have no idea. And she said, you know, it's okay. It's okay. She said, just promise me one thing. No matter where you go, no matter where you are, remember, first of all, that you're loved, and second, to be happy. No matter what's going on, that's the most important thing you have to remember, is to be happy. And honestly, that one line has served me so well, because I always think back to that. What did she mean? She meant really to just follow those things that bring me joy. And that's what's going to lead me to that ultimate goal of success. But what is success? Success at the end of the day is being completely happy in who you are. That's success. So it was the best piece of advice I ever got. Just be happy.
Yeah. And, you know, when you hear these from the kids, you kind of, some people say, are looking how to justify it and all. They think it's cool, but then they say, oh, that's just a kid saying it. When really the kids are the ones that are the most open and the less jaded, I think. And they really have those openings, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I treasure that wisdom so much, is because I know it's coming from a pure source.
Right.
And that's...
And, you know, also too, you said in your book about... let's see, the good with the bad. Remember that you're always preaching to people. Balance makes the world go round. And you know what I can remember about when they talked about balance? Everybody says, I need to have balance. But yet they'll go off and they'll scream at their kids and then they'll try to meditate. And is that balance? Sometimes not, you know, because, you know, you can look at it that way. Or you could say, well, I'm going to go to my crazy work. I'm going to scream at my kids on the way there, and my life at home is terrible, but I'm going to go get a massage, and that's my balance for the day. Really what we're talking about is balance in your life, not just a moment in your life, right?
Absolutely. We're talking about balance right across the board. We're talking about being able to look at the world in such a way where the horrific things that are happening do not set us off on a course that's going to negatively affect our emotional state. We're talking about is being able to detach emotionally from these things and being able to look at the entire world organism the way we look at nature. We don't get mad at the wolf for eating the deer, because we
right.
know that when the wolf eats the deer population goes down. Then the plants are able to flourish, the birds have food, the bears have food. It affects even the water systems. And, you know, I mean, we really have to look at our entire world and our personal lives in that perspective. Why is it we would accept that incredible, intricate balance to exist in nature, but we won't accept it in our own lives?
Right. And don't you think, too, I think that even, let's look at the water. I have a stream on my Facebook page where they're talking about water all the time, the terrible things. The water here is dirty. This water is killing you, blah, blah, blah. And all of the people, they're calling out all the people at the end market of getting, you know, drinking water to you. And I think I had said to them at one time, are you ever considering what you put down your toilet? Did you ever consider, you know, that you poured all your prescription drugs down there? Did you contribute to the bad water? Or, you know, do you have your water pipes fixed at your house? Maybe, you know, in other words, like work your way back, but don't always be screaming at the first person in line about the reactions of the last product at the end of the line.
And that's the absolute truth. If you really want to make a difference in this world, you have to start at home. You have to start within yourself, within your habits. My husband and I actually just downsized to the maximum. We have sold everything that we could sell, donated everything that we could donate. We're down to 3 trunks, 4 suitcases, because
yeah.
we realized that we can't take judgment on other people you know, having an impact on the environment or other people making poor choices, if we're not first making the choices in our own life that reflect our beliefs, and so we're working towards living a more minimalistic lifestyle with less of an impact. Because I can't take on Coca-Cola or Nestle.
Right.
Well, I could. I mean, if I really wanted to. There's no limits, really, to what you're capable of. But I don't really feel like it. Like, the effort involved would be ridiculous and tiring and exhausting. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to use my purchasing dollar, number one, to decide which companies survive and which ones don't. And then I'm going to use my life to be not just an example, but to minimize the impact that's being made on our planet right now. And I'm constantly working on myself. I'm certainly so far from perfect, it's ridiculous, but I'm still working on it. You know, I'm still conscious of it. And when I do go off the rail, I pull myself back and go, hey, what are you doing? And that's,
right.
You know, that's the journey. You're never going to get, there's no end.
I know. Or how about, I got there today, now what's up for Monday, right?
right. No, there's no end. There's no end goal. Like my daughter said, the end goal is to live. That's why you're here. Goodness gracious, find a way to enjoy that experience.
I think also, too, the concept that you just get to the goal and that's all life is made out of is all of these goals attained. Or like the commenter on Facebook who said, you know, if you didn't attain the goal, your life is just always striving for the goal or else you're a failure. And I really call it just a series of experiences without labels. And so many labels are put on things.
There are a great deal of labels put on things. And, you know, but the way to stop that is to stop putting labels on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
First. You know, people ask me all the time, because I write about God. I write about Christianity. I write about Hinduism. I write about Wiccan, you know, and they always want to know, what do you believe? What are you? The only label I can bring myself to put on myself is I'm a humanitarian earthling. And not even that feels right, because if I'm a humanitarian earthling, then I'm only caring about humans. And that's not true either. I love human beings, but I also happen to love nature. So what am I? I'm an earthling. I live on Earth. That's who I am. That's what I am. And so, you know, I mean, I have to let go of those labels. What was I? I was an author, okay? And then, you know, a couple of years later, now I'm a film producer. Now I'm also a music producer. And so the labels change. So, you know, we can't allow them to define who we are, because then it sticks us in that box and we don't know, you know, how to get out of it. So you worrying about the labels, you got to, again, it's about starting at home, starting within your heart.
I think sometimes the labels are more about that experience box that you meddled around in, you know, collected your lesson, and then you kind of got out of it. Because a lot of times those, I know for myself over the decades, I could attach a zillion of those. And, you know, I was in that experience, and then, okay, I'm finished, I learned my lesson. Now that label no longer pertains, and you can just let it fall by the wayside. Can you talk a little bit about, in your book, you definitely have a chapter where you talk about I am who I am, but you also, what is your, you know, when we talk about belief, hope, and faith, because others think that belief, hope, and faith is something that they learned, hey, I went to Catholic school in the 50s and 60s, okay? Belief, hope, and faith was what we memorized out of those little catechism things, but a lot of people haven't even ventured outside of that box to think that there might be anything different.
It's a hard box to venture out of. You know, I've done my time in the Catholic Church. However, thankfully, we now have a Pope in the Catholic Church who's starting to knock down some of the walls of that box. Belief, hope, and faith. Okay, well, belief, again, much like truth, it's malleable. Your beliefs are going to change as your experiences change. That's a given. hope that's that light at the end of the tunnel, that, you know, you're in the dark and you just, I know somehow that it's going to be better, right? Faith?
Yeah.
That's in knowing that it's okay to be in the dark. That's what faith means. To have true faith is not to believe that everything is going to be okay at the end of the day. That's hope. But faith is to be able to sit in that moment of darkness and go, okay, I'm here for a reason. And I'm okay being here. That's faith. It's,
you know, sometimes when clients call me, they'll always say, you know, I'll ask them why they call, and they'll say, I'm having a terrible time with blah, blah, blah. And they'll say, okay, where are you now? I'm really having pain. I'm in pain. I'm very sad. I'm very overwhelmed. I'll say, oh, that is the most fabulous thing ever, because you can identify where you are. If you sat there and said, I didn't know, we'd be having a whole other conversation, you know? So it's some place where we can start from. What is the pain from? What does the sadness look like? You know, how do you assess your feeling of darkness? What does your darkness look like? Tell me, talk to me, you know? What would it sense like if you were not in this space, you know?
Exactly.
I think sometimes, even in healthcare, we get so hung up on this anti-aging, and I got to be like I was. I want to be like I used to be. I think that's such a dangerous word to say, because what do you mean you used to be? You're evolving. You'll never be how you used to be, you know?
Oh, we totally have to let go of that. I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely, yes. Let go of that idea. I want to be how I was yesterday. No, you don't.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to be how I was yesterday.
You're wiser today. You know more today. You've had more experiences today. And today is a day to do. Listen, if you're aging, that's because you made it this far. That's something
right.
to celebrate. Do not complain about that 50th birthday or that 60th birthday or that 70th birthday. Many people don't get to have those.
Right.
Celebrate. Where's the gratitude? And as for the pain, absolutely. Pain is a good thing. Anger is a good thing. Do you know why? Because it shows us what we don't want. And when we know what we don't want, then we can switch our focus over onto what we do want.
But it also can reflect maybe a conversation of how did I get here and what would I like it to look like otherwise, you know, instead of, but I want you to fix it. I don't want to be today like I am. I don't want to be tomorrow like I am today. And there isn't a quick fix. I mean, ultimately there is. You and I know we can change our thinking instantly. However, you're still going to have those imprints and some of those, as I call, toxins hanging around that got to get cleared out. So we can change parts, and that's how we climb up the ladder. So the ladder is not just, you know, one step at a time. It's more or less like we would see if you drag a big branch from a tree down the street, you know, it all doesn't come in one piece. A leaf here, a leaf there, the branch here, they're flopping all around. So there's a lot of parts of you that take a while to get down the street. And you're all at different levels and you're all in different places. Your being, your aura, your spiritual sense, your physical sense, all of these different things, your mental and your emotional. So they all just take that time to come down the street like that branch. And eventually you'll get down to the end of the road, right?
That's such a brilliant analogy. And you've touched on something that's really near and dear to my heart. Listen, for people who are listening out there, and you're going to come across the odd person who's going to look at you and say, hey, look at the silver lining. Smile. Everything will be okay. Listen, if you're not okay in the moment, then you're not okay in the moment. And if any healer, quote, you see me little finger quotes, comes to you and says you can think yourself well, listen, that's not a healer. A healer is going to come down to your level, and they are going to hold your hand, and they are going to sit with you, and they are going to be with you in your dark moment, and they are going to slowly walk out of it with you. There's everybody, like you said, is at a different level, and that is so important to recognize. Your healing journey, be it physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is personal. It is yours. And it is not for anybody else to tell you when you should get better.
Right.
Because
and you can stay that way till your last moment, and that's just fine if that's your path.
Absolutely. If that's what you want to do, who am I to judge?
Right.
Who am I to judge? If you come to me and say, I want to get better, okay, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the steps you're going to have to take, the choices that you're going to have to make, the changes in your life that you're going to have to be brave enough to embrace. But if you don't want to get better, if in this moment you being sick is what you need, then that's okay. It's okay. Because it's not my journey. And, you know, I'm not going to judge you for that. It's hard to let go of pain. It's hard to let go of illness. It's really difficult because a lot of us, and this goes way back to, like, when I grew up, the only excuse ever for doing nothing, and here's one that's really going to catch people's attention, I bet, because it made my head pop when I heard this. The only excuse ever for doing nothing, for just being still, was to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people have those two things attached. And so they hate their job, they hate the life that they're living, and they get sick.
Right.
Why do they get sick? Because it's their only way out.
Yeah. And that's okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to beat yourself up over that, by the way, if you're listening. Not at all. It's perfectly okay. Just if you're listening, it triggers you, that's a magic moment, you know?
And if there's a lot of women, I mean, I know for myself, being a single parent with four kids going to school and working, if that's what happened, you know, in other words, I can remember, you know, people would say to me, you're burning the candle at both ends. And my answer would be, I didn't know it only had two ends, you know, until I hit a wall and it was said, okay, you've now burnt everything up. So now you're going to have to start on rebuilding. And that's what I spent the last 8 years doing, is rebuilding, because I had expended myself so fast and so hard that now I had to do something differently. And also, too, you know what you said about there's things you're going to have to do to change your situation. I would really emphasize this to the listeners to please pay attention. We're not saying you have to get out and do all these big things. I've even said to people, you know, if you're sitting and you're saying, I really can't do much walking, and I would say to you, okay, then all I want you to do is, what would it look like? I want to be able to walk to the mailbox. And I'd say, okay, how do you think you can do that? And they said, well, I would get up. And I would get dressed. I said, okay, for 2 weeks, you're only allowed to get up and get dressed. I don't want you to go outside the house. And they're like, what are you talking about? If I feel better, I'm going to go out. No, you can't do that. So what happens is when they get up and they get dressed for 2 weeks, they've gotten it as a habit. And they're able to do it every day. And then they'd say, oh, okay, this feels better. Or some days they'll have that they say, oh, this doesn't feel better, but I'm going to get up and do it anyway. And then you find that for the next 2 weeks, you say, okay, did you get up and get dressed? They said, yeah. I said, get up, get dressed, and put the keys to the mailbox in your pocket for 2 weeks. And they're like, okay. And they just keep doing it. And then the following, like, by the time we get to, like, the third sessions of 2 weeks, they say, look, you're just doing this way too slow. I got up, I got dressed, I put the keys in my pocket, I went and got the mail, and I went to the grocery store. It was like, oh, okay. You know? And so, in other words, you just have to grease the wheel, but you don't have to put it in, you know, this WD-40 where it goes flying, because you'll just break the wheel again, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Where were you when I was trying to heal my fibromyalgia? I'm telling you.
Hey, don't you know where I was? Healing my own, honey. That's where I was.
There you go. So that's the thing. And you know, I mean, the beautiful thing is that No, it's not going to happen overnight. You're in a physical form right now. You experience physicality, and physicality has a thing attached to it called time. Give yourself time.
Yes.
Don't beat yourself up. You are bang on with that, and that goes with diet, too. I have people that, so I have to get rid of gluten, and I have to get rid of sugar, and I have to get rid of
Lord.
Said, you know what? My first question is, how many glasses of water do you have a day?
I know.
Water. Ah, see? Try that first. You don't want me to give up my coffee? No, I don't want you to give up your coffee. I want you to add water to your daily drinking routine. And don't lie to yourself either. This is very, very important. You need to open up a conversation with your body, and you need to make some agreements with your body. Okay, body, I'm going to do what it takes to get you strong and healthy, but I'm going to take my time doing it, and I'm not going to go back on my word. So, no, I'm not going to all of a sudden have a glass of water tomorrow, because that would be a lie. You know you're not going to do it. Come on. I'm going to have one glass of water tomorrow, and I'm going to have one glass of water for a week, and then next week I'm going to have two glasses of water. And just that slow build up, and you're going to start to see the changes in your body, and much like the woman who just got up and said, screw it, I'm going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because she got to the point where she saw that she can do it. And that's all you need to do. So yes, best advice ever. Take your time.
Yeah, because time is so irrelevant anyway. I mean, if people, they say, but oh, I'm going to die when I get older. You could die today. You could die tomorrow. What are you worried about? In other words, but they say, oh, but I'm going to die when I'm 85. And, you know, that concept that of death, if they would just erase that fear out of your mind, you would live for the moment so much easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just let it go. Because none of us, I mean, I'm going for 333, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get there.
Are you?
Absolutely. My magic number. I'm going for 333. But you know what? I mean, it's okay because my main goal right now in life is to be able to say in every moment that if I go right now in this moment, have I done everything up to this point to be the person I want to be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what's important.
Yeah. I think the idea of a bucket list is, I don't even have one. You know, I had said this to somebody the other day. I said, I think we were having a funny conversation before that blood moon, and I said, if a doctor told me today was going tomorrow, what would I do differently? I'd say, I don't know, maybe I would, I don't know. I'd probably just sit here, watch TV, and go eat dinner and go to sleep. I don't think I would do anything differently.
No, I agree with you. I hope that I wouldn't do anything differently. I hope that I would just continue on the way I'm going, because that's, you know, I already make it a point to try and spend time with family and friends. I already make it a point to try and have those little quiet cuddle moments with my dogs.
Right.
I already make it a point to try and have those moments for myself. And so if there's things that I didn't get to do this time around, okay. It's okay. I wasn't meant to do them this time around. It's just, it is.
Catch them up next time. Well, Nikki, can you believe we went through this whole hour really fast?
Ooh. Did we really?
Well, it was really a pleasure to have you with us. Can you share with the listeners more information how they could find out about you? That would be great.
Sure. You can find me at a few places right now. NikkiNorlock.com is really easy, and that's where you'll find my book and my backstory. So it's NikkiNorlock.com. We've also just finished doing a documentary called Beyond Strength, and that's one heck of a tale, and that'll blow your mind. How's the lady with fibromyalgia who couldn't get dressed managed to produce a documentary? I don't know, but it happened, and it's beautiful. So you can find that at beyondstrengthmovie.com, and, of course, you can always find me on Twitter and Facebook and my blog at Phoenix Rising, but Twitter and Facebook are the easiest, Nikki Norlock. I'm easy to find. Just Google me. I'm everywhere.
You know what? Someone had said to me one day, they said, oh, but these people in this area aren't interested in your work. I said, I'm not local. I'm global. You need to take that tagline, too. I'm not local. I'm global.
I am totally global.
Oh, goodness. Well, Nikki, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It was an absolute great time and great analogies. You're a brilliant mind.
Thank you so much. I think it comes from having been there and done that too, you know. It's been up and down, and I guess we're still here today. So it's a testament that we were making it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something more to be grateful for.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Take care.
If you'd like to find out more information about Nikki, her link is on the bottom of today's show page. It'll take you directly to her website. Please do check out her book. She is the author of Truth, My Synchromistic Journey. That link is on today's show page. And thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeannettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeannette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone, or the television remote, or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.